Once again, this is Robert Rawson filling in for Brother Ed Castile. Brother Ed's good wife had an infection that occurred this last week that hospitalized her, and he was just not able to be out to record this particular broadcast. So he called on me once again, and I'm always delighted to be able to fill in and to do this particular program for you this morning on Let the Bible Speak. Think about this for a minute. If you have lemonade presented to you and it doesn't have sugar added to it, will you not know it right off the bat when you sip it? Well, of course, you recognize the tart taste of the lemons reverses the sugar taste of the sugar being added to it and making it sweet lemonade. There are many things in life that way. Many things in life we find that when we get into it, we find that it's not exactly what it's represented to be. And thus it is the case in the Scripture as well. When Jesus said in John 8 at verse 31, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8 verses 31 and 32 tell us of a system by which God wants people to finish the program that they began in listening to what Jesus had to say. Jesus said, "If ye continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Before they came to know the truth and being made free from sin and having the liberty to be in Christ Jesus in a good free way, they found themselves forgetting about what Jesus was saying. And so they did not continue in his word. And what does it say there about them? "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed." John 8, 31. Now, if they did not continue in his word, would they be true disciples of the Lord? Jesus said plainly, no. They would not if they did not continue in his word. A little bit later in John chapter 12 and at verse 48 and 49, Jesus said, "If you reject me and receive not my word, you have one that judges you. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge you in the last day. For the word I speak unto you is not my own, but my Father gave me these words that I now say unto you." What did Jesus say? He said the Father's words. "And if you do not continue in my word, then you will not be not only not my disciple, but you will be judged by this word at the last day." And so the process by which we find ourselves being sweet to the Lord, faithful to the Lord, begins with fulfilling that little word, if. If you continue in my word, John 8:31. And in John 12 at 48, when he says, "If you deny me and receive not my word, you have one that judges you. And the word I have spoken to you will judge you in the last day." So Jesus' words were important enough to be followed to the fulfillment of those words and receive freedom from sin. That he said in John 8:32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They would be free only when they continued in his word and his will. Now we have an example of those who started out, but they didn't continue in his word. Found in Acts chapter 18, beginning at verse 18, and on through in chapter 19 of the book of Acts, we have 12 men from the city of Ephesus that Paul met along the work that he was doing over in that area of the world. He said, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed?" And they said, "We know not whether there be any Holy Spirit. We never heard of the Holy Spirit." And John said, "Unto what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Unto John's baptism." With that, he taught them further the word of the Lord. "John baptized you unto repentance, saying unto you, you should follow him who came after him." That is, you were to follow Christ. They had not continued to follow Christ. They did not know anything about the Holy Spirit, and thus he informed them of what they would have learned if they had continued to follow the Christ. As he taught them and they understood, they were processed in the process of having the Holy Spirit come upon them, and they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll notice that in this regard, they had started out their journey listening to a part of it, John's baptism, and they had prepared themselves no further by following what he said. John said, "I baptize you, and you will follow him that will come after me, and that is Christ." If you don't follow him that comes after me, then you will not complete the message. You will not complete the journey. You will not complete the hope of salvation. And these people found themselves that way as Paul met them, 12 men from Ephesus. They found themselves needing to obey the Lord fully and completely. And that's what they did. This is Robert Rawson standing in for Ed Castile on the program, Let the Bible Speak. And so as we let the Bible speak regarding those who begin their journey listening to the Lord and listening to his word, but not continuing in it, what will happen? In John chapter 8 and at verse 31, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." What if they didn't continue in his word? That's the point. These brethren over here in Acts 18, beginning at verse 18, and through chapter 19, verse 12, you'll find these 12 men from Ephesus beginning the journey. John's baptism was their baptism. They did not continue to follow him who came after him. And thus they did not know about the Holy Spirit, nor did they know fullness of salvation. Now then, do you learn or do you benefit from the teaching of God's word fully and completely if you do not follow all that the Lord himself has said? That's the question that we have in front of us today. There are various congregations that are supportive of this broadcast. And as you note, in regard to this matter, the Central Academy congregation is a part of helping that whole work to go on. And as a result, they are working with the Sardis congregation and the Cortland congregation. Now, the Cortland congregation and Sardis congregations have the time of services at Bible classes at 10 a.m. and worship at 11 a.m. and again at 5 p.m. on Sunday evening, Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. The Central Academy congregation has Bible classes at 9:30 on Sunday morning, worship at 10:30, preaching service there, and 5 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. These congregations all invite you to come be a part, and they want you also to realize that there are many other congregations of Churches of Christ throughout the area. And go and visit with them and talk with them in regard to the teaching of the Bible at that place, and be sure that you understand the message that's understood there in the way of life that they want you to live. Again, we mentioned to you about these time of services so that you might be availing yourself the opportunity to visit at this time with them. This is Robert Rawson standing in for Ed Castile, whose good wife has had hospitalization over this last week, and he was not able to leave to record the program, so I'm standing in for him again today. This is Robert Rawson. I preach for the Crockett Church of Christ, and we gather at the Crockett congregation at 9:30, 10:30, and then 6 p.m. on Sundays, and 7 o'clock on Wednesday nights. If you're out our way, 7 miles from the interstate on Highway 4 west toward the Tunica side, you'll see us 7 miles out on the left there at the Crockett congregation. We invite you to come be a part of the services with us. Again, in this study, we found out the idea that if we do not continue in the teaching of the Word of the Lord and grow in the knowledge of the Word of the Lord, we'll find ourselves not being made free from sin, because we'll never know the truth and never know the fullness of it. These brethren at Ephesus in Acts chapter 19, 12 men, found themselves not understanding the full message of it. And if they heard the message, which Paul obviously understood that they did, because John taught them to believe on him who came after him, and that is on Christ, and listen to what he had to say. They did not continue, and therefore they did not know anything about the Holy Spirit coming and being a part of anybody's life. And so they needed to be responding to the baptism of Christ Jesus, and they needed to understand the message to follow faithfully the Lord. In the book of Ephesians chapter 1, they heard the word of truth, the gospel of their salvation. Ephesians 1 verse 13. And it says of these brethren that they continued in that word, continue in that way, and that they found themselves being recognized by obeying the Lord, and the Spirit of God was bearing record with them that they were beginning their faithful life to the Lord. These brethren were told that they were saved by God's grace, Ephesians 2 and verse 5. But it wasn't the idea of just grace alone. It was the idea of their following the word and the will of the Lord that was so taught to them. In chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, they heard the word of truth, the gospel of their salvation. And they heard it and began to practice what was said there. Now we know the rest of the story from Acts 19 that they continued in just a part of it. They didn't continue in all of it. But as they continued in all of it, they had the witness of the Spirit of God that they were the children of God. And as a result of that, in Ephesians chapter 1, they were saved by the grace of the Lord, Ephesians 2 and verse 5. It is noted to you and me that we need to continue in. Just like we need to get that pitcher of lemonade, and we need to get the sugar into it and fixed up so it'll be sweet lemonade when we taste it, we would recognize the difference if we did not have the sugar in that lemonade. So we need to do that. And so we need to follow God's word as he has spoken this word and will in our lives. Will you continue in the word of the Lord? Will you read all about the subject of salvation from sin? There are 8 detailed examples in the book of Acts of the Apostles as you read about salvation from sin. You read about the Jews responding to the Lord in Acts chapter 2. And you read about the Gentiles beginning Acts chapter 10, responding to the Lord. In every instance, baptism is mentioned. Not in every instance is faith mentioned. Not in every instance is repentance mentioned. Not in every instance is confessing the Lord mentioned. But in every one of the instances, baptism is mentioned. You can't miss that. And as you read along with each one of these events, you read more information about the truth and the teaching of the Lord Jesus for our lives. Now, what about people who are baptized into Christ, begin to live faithfully for him, growing in him as they should, and they sin nevertheless? Do they never sin again? Very unlikely that that's the case. Very, very unlikely that's the case. But what do they do with their sins when they do those things again? Going now to the book of 1 John, chapter 1, we read verses 2, 3, and 4, that these are people in fellowship with the Father and the Son. Listen to what's said there. These are the people that now find themselves in fellowship with the Father and the Son. You remember what Jesus had said there in John 12 at 48 and 49? If you deny me and reject my word, there's one that judges you. The word I have spoken, the same will judge you in the last day. And these words are not my own, but my Father gave me these words that I now teach unto you. Notice that the Father and the Son have the same words to be taught. And notice that these people here, as you read along in 1 John 1, are in fellowship with the Father and the Son. Now, what do they do when they sin? Do they go back and get rebaptized over and over and over again as they've sinned in their lives? No, they're in fellowship with the Father and the Son. And so he says to them in 1 John 1, now verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What does he do? If we confess our sins. This big word, if, once again shows up. Jesus had said back there in John 8:31, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. That's a big if. If you continue. There were many who did not continue in his word. Thus they never knew the truth and never were made free. But there were, thankfully, on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, there were 3,000 of them that gladly heard his word and were baptized. And the same day there was added unto them about 3,000 souls. Notice that the Lord saved them from sin. They became fellowship with the Father and the Son. And these people in 1 John 1, verses 3, 4, and 5, are in fellowship with the Father and the Son, but they've sinned again. They find themselves doing wrong, thinking wrong, talking wrong. Now then, what should they do? If, 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What does the Heavenly Father do for us if we confess our sins? What does he do for us through the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ? What does he do? He forgives us of our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. You see, there are unrighteous thinking that we do, unrighteous ideas that come to mind. And as we practice those things in actual sins in our lives, the unrighteous thinking and unrighteous deeds that we do need to be corrected. They need to be changed. They need to be put away from us. And God says, I'm faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. God is faithful and he is just. He's doing right by us. He didn't leave us. He didn't forbid us. He didn't deceive us. He says, if you confess your sins, I'm faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He'll help us to deliver ourselves from those things that try our minds and tempt us to say the things and do the deeds that are wrong in life as we are in Christ, in fellowship with the Father and the Son. Are you that way today? Do you have that freedom and liberty to know that as you go to bed tonight and you stop to think about the Lord and you say, Lord, there are things I've said and things I've done in this day that I want your forgiveness for. I'm so sorry that that's the case in my life. Do you realize the strength that you're gaining there from God by way of saying such words to him and asking his forgiveness? He not only cleanses you from all unrighteousness, but he will be faithful and just to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. The unrighteous deeds that you did, he'll forgive you of. But he will also help you to overcome the unrighteous thinking that brought you to that point, the unrighteous actions that brought you to that point, the unrighteous conduct that brought you to that point of being away from God once again. What a blessing that can be in our life. What a freedom that can be. What a joy that can be. And it doesn't match up with what Jesus said in John 8:32. If you continue in my word, then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It makes us free from the dictates of sin, free from the slavery of sin. And we find ourselves rejoicing in the presence of God. This is Robert Rawson once again, standing in for Brother Ed Castile. And as Iris is facing an illness once again, and he's in the hospital with her, and he could not get out to record for this particular program, he once again asked me, and I'm always delighted. I told him never to fear that I would be ready and be prepared to speak on this broadcast, Let the Bible Speak, because we want to let the Bible speak. As we are saved from sin, it will not be that we can find ourselves in salvation from the Lord if we do not continue in his word, John 8:31. We will never know the truth, and the truth will not make us free, John 8:32. There were brethren who found themselves obeying the baptism of John in Acts chapter 18, beginning at verse 18. And in Acts 19, when Paul met them, he asked them about their knowledge as believers of the Holy Spirit. And they said, we don't even know if there be a Holy Spirit. He said, unto what then were you baptized? Unto John's baptism. And he said, John indeed baptized you under repentance. He baptized you, saying to you, follow him who comes after me. And that is on Christ. And they had not done that. Thus they didn't know anything about what Jesus taught them about the Holy Spirit coming. And as a result of that, they didn't know anything about the fullness of the truth that was given to them. And Paul tells them the fullness of the picture. They are baptized into Christ. They go on their way. And in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, what are they? Saved by the grace of God, Ephesians 2 at verse 5. When they, Ephesians 1 and verse 13, heard the word of truth, the gospel of their salvation. From whom do they hear the word of truth, the gospel of their salvation? They began to hear it from John, but they didn't follow him who was come after me. And as a result, they didn't know it. Now Paul informs them about that message. And they have heard the word of truth, the gospel of their salvation, and were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, when we repent and are baptized into Christ, we all not only find remission of our sins, but also the gift of the Holy Spirit. Not the ability to do the miracles and things of that nature, but to have the witness of the Holy Spirit that we are faithfully serving as the children of God in Romans 8 and verse 24. And so we find ourselves enjoying a relationship with Him just as surely and sweet and good as if we were to find lemonade with sugar added, and the sweetness of it and the flavor of the lemons there helped out in our cool summertime drink out in the sunshine under the shade trees. There we are to enjoy that way of life. What a blessing it is to have. What a blessing it is to be that kind of person who faithfully follows the Lord completely and as a result finds the wonderful blessing of freedom from sin. And if we as faithful people who are in fellowship with the Father and the Son, 1 John 1, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a blessing it is to have as we live that way of life for the Lord's sake. Once again, we remind you of the services of the Church of Christ in your particular area. And in this particular regard, these congregations that support this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak are congregations at Cortland and at Sardis. And their services this morning will be at 10 o'clock and worship at 11 o'clock and this evening at 5 o'clock. And Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. It is the case that the congregation at Central Academy will meet at 9:30 this morning, 10:30 for the preaching service, and 5 p.m. for the worship service in the afternoon. Again, on Wednesday nights at 6 o'clock, Bible study time will be done. All of this is involved in the teaching of God's will and God's way. And when you visit Churches of Christ, insisting of them kindly that they teach fully the Word of God in those places, you'll find people who open their Bible and will say, what does the Scripture say about the subject that you have in mind? And they'll use only that which the Scripture does say in fullness, in the context, in the meaning of the words. They'll use that to fully teach about what God says in His holy Word. What a blessing it is to have that to be done in our daily walk of life. As I mentioned earlier in John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free from sin, free from guilt, free from the penalty of sin, free from the challenges of sinful thinking and doing in our lives. The Lord has promised He'll work with us in that regard. And in 1 John 1 and at 9, I'm faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I'll forgive you what you've done, and I'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That includes the unrighteous thinking that we're doing, unrighteous planning that we're doing, the unrighteous deeds that we will have done that'll be sinful against God. and thus the unrighteous way of life is being served as a slave to sin rather than enslaved to the Lord. When Paul wrote the brethren at Rome in Romans chapter 6, he said, "Shall we continue in sin?" They raised that question to Paul. They raised that idea that if we sin more and grace saves us, then we will have more grace if we sin more. So we need to continue to sin that grace may abound. Paul says, "God forbid. How shall any of us that have died to sin live any longer therein?" We've died to that. Why do we want to go back and live in that old way of life? And he says there, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were buried with him by baptism into his death? And that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also are raised to walk in newness of life." He said, "For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not be enslaved or serve sin any longer." He goes on to say in Romans 6 and 18, "God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine delivered you, and being then made free from sin, ye became the servants or slaves to righteousness." Slaves to righteousness, what do we do with our sins? 1 John 1, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." The things that we do in life and the ways that we plan life, it should involve the sweetness of God's gospel and teaching fully and completely. Sometimes people do not stay within the context of a passage. They look at John 3:16 and Jesus' words to those people, "You need to believe that I am he. And you need to believe in this way." And certainly it's important to believe. Without faith, Hebrews 11:6, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. What part of impossible do we not understand? But with faith, what should we then do? The people in Acts chapter 2 and on down through the book of Acts, when they had that faith, they moved into, and in every instance, it is said, they went to be baptized into Christ and to begin that new way of life. What about you? What about your way of life today? Is it filled with righteous thoughts and righteous deeds, righteous ideas? Very likely not. We're really challenged with a number of things that happen in life from day to day. We read it in the newspaper. We see it on television. We find ourselves bothered by the things that are going on in the world in which we live. But the idea is, he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. John wrote in 1 John 1, 9 through 11, he said, "I will forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness." What a blessing it is to have this relationship with the Lord. Once again, let me remind you of the congregations that support this particular program and would invite you to their services. The congregation at Cortland and congregation at Sardis. 5 o'clock tonight, their preaching time there. And Wednesday night at 6 p.m. The Central Academy congregation invites you to be a part of services with them at 9:30, 10:30, and 5 o'clock this afternoon and 6 o'clock this evening for their service on Wednesday night. You're invited to be a part of those services with them to understand what the Bible says, to put it into practice, to talk about it without people being ugly and ugly-spirited. If you find a congregation that's ugly-spirited to you, please let me know about that. Please do not continue to be with that particular kind of spirit. The Word of God teaches us to be people who are gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient, in 2 Timothy 2, 24. For there are those who oppose themselves. When you mistakenly thought that you put sugar in the lemonade, and it wasn't there, everybody let you know in a hurry, and you added the sugar to it. So it is without teaching fully the Word of God. How do we know what we're doing? Thanks for your time. This is Robert Rawson.